Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny's DCEU in review. Just a few more of these to go and then good riddance to all that is DCEU. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Isn't that right, Andy Cortez?
It might get worse.
It might get worse. It might. A handful of movies are still remaining and it might get worse. How do you feel about that, Big Daddy Greg Miller?
I don't know if it can't get worse, guys. Can we just get to the DCU already? Can we just get to whatever James Gunn has up his sleeve?
Oh, man. Of course, this is Kinda Funny's In Review, where each and every week we get together to rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. If there's a movie franchise you love or hate, chances are we have covered it on this show. This is a show you can get on YouTube.com/KindaFunny or RoosterTeeth.com as a video. If you want to get it as a podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny In Review, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free and watch it live as it's being recorded, though, you got to go to Patreon.com/KindaFunny. Just like our Patreon producers, Nathan Lamoth, Tripod Plus Plus, Trent Berry, James Hastings, and Casey Andrew have all done. We appreciate all you so very, very much. Today, we're brought to you by Honey, but I'll tell you about that later. Some quick housekeeping for you. In Review's about to be popping off. It already is popping off. We had Scream 6. We had Creed 3. Shazam 2 right now. Next week, we got John Wick Chapter 4. Can't freaking wait for that. We're going to be doing the Super Mario Bros. Movie as an In Review coming up as well. I think that might just be a one-off, though. Of just the new one, just for us getting us all together to hang out and have fun talking about that. And then kicking into high gear again with a whole bunch of returns to so many different in-review franchises, including MCU, Indiana Jones, DC again with The Flash and a bunch of other stuff. The list just goes on and on and on.
Tons of some respect on Blue Beetle's name.
Fast and Furious.
Man, Tim, if like you could tell me that any date that we did Indiana Jones on, and I'd believe you.
Yeah.
Have no idea what date that took place. It could have been a dream, all I know.
It was work from home, and we did it because they announced the Indiana Jones game. And Blessing was like, I've never seen these movies.
Oh.
And then we was like, hey, well, let's change
the rare Blessing appearance on In Review.
Exactly. He will return.
Again, it's one of those things you could have said it was mid-2020 or late-2022.
Yeah.
And I'd believe all of it.
Yeah, it's... last week I said that we've done about 50 franchises and somebody in the YouTube comments was like, there's no way. And then they counted 48.
Oh,
we've done
Jesus.
48 franchises on In Review.
Eat it, you little shit in the YouTube comment.
So go check all that out. Anyways, enough of that. Today we're talking about Shazam, Fury of the Gods, with a runtime of 2 hours and 10 minutes. It was released on March 17th, 2023, originally scheduled to be released on April 1st, 2022. But who's the fool now, everybody? Who's the fool now? This was once again directed by David F. Sandberg, who's best known for his collective no-budget horror short films under the online pseudonym Pony Smasher for his 2016 directorial debut, Lights Out, which was based on his 2013 acclaimed horror short of the same name. He also directed the horror film Annabelle Creation as part of the Conjuring universe and the DCEU universe.
Which one was Annabelle Creation? Do we like that one or do we hate that one?
That was a good one. That was the one with the elevator scene.
Okay.
Yeah, with the apartment in L.A.
Yeah, I remember. It was like a 50s, 60s. It was a period piece.
Yeah. At least I think that was the one. But anyways, he also did Shazam 1 as well. Music for this one was done by Christoph Beck, who is known for Frozen and the Ant-Man series, as well as Hawkeye and WandaVision.
Allegiances have changed. Wow.
You're allowed to say that the music was done by him, but when the best song is from Junkie XL and Hans Zimmer, you put some respect on it. Is she with you, Andy? Wow!
I don't know what song he's talking about.
Oh, God.
This one had a budget of $125 million and a box office, obviously. We don't know yet because the movie's not even officially out for most people. We got to see a screener. But Hollywood Reporter reports, according to pre-release tracking, the superhero pick is expected to start off with a $35 million plus in North America compared to the $53 million debut of Shazam in 2019, not adjusted for inflation. No major Hollywood studio sets out to make a sequel that doesn't match the first, leaving many to wonder whether tracking's being too conservative in this instance. We'll have to see. We'll wait and see what the results of this one see. To me, this one a more family-oriented film, and we've seen a lot of the box office get hit post-pandemic of families not coming back to theaters as much as individuals or like couples. So
that's why they curse a bunch at the end, just really drive it up. Be like, this ain't your normal fucking family film.
Yeah. And there you go. That's that. Greg Miller, I want to start with you of what you thought about Shazam, Fury of the Gods. Of course, this is in review. Completely spoilers everywhere you'll look. So go for it.
Everywhere the eye can see is spoilers, so be careful.
You know, yesterday I was asked several times by Kevin Coelho if I was excited to go see this movie. And each time I said, no, God, no. I was looking forward to playing video games tonight, and then I remembered I have to go see Shazam Fury of the Gods. I wish I didn't do this. I wish MCU in review hadn't been such a raging success for Kinda Funny, so we wouldn't have spawned this thing where I have to go watch these movies. And after 2 hours and 10 minutes of Zachary Levi, I was like, I stand by everything I said. I don't hate this movie. It's a movie. You know, it's there and it's doing its thing and it's happening. And what I said to you, and I knew would make you roll your eyes, Tim, and you rolled your eyes when I said it, is that this is a kid's film. You know, like I'd like to think that Monster Squad is a better kid's film, a kid's movie I loved growing up. But I can totally see myself as a kid watching this and being like, this is fucking great. There's Skittles and the kids are doing the thing and the kids are in control and the parents are cool and that's neat. And oh man, Wonder Woman. Yeah. And blah, blah, blah. It's just like, I was ranting and raving as I drove home with Mike last night because Mike slept over. And I was like, it feels like they want there to be all these different stratas of DC movies, almost like MCU said they were going to, I shouldn't even put it on them. Said they were going to do with like, oh, Multiverse of Madness is going to be more of a horror film. And like, oh, this, you know, Ant-Man's always kind of more of a comedy. I'm playing Fast and Loose, but you know what I mean? In terms of like, oh, there can be different colors of the, you know, rainbow, taste the rainbow, different colors of superhero genre movies. And I feel like DC, one of the 15 people who's run it during the DCEU was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Shazam will be our funny family movie. And it's like, when none of the other movies are in any other definable, it's just like, I just don't care, you know? And I did not at any point in this movie care. I guess maybe when he died, I got a little choked up when the little boy was saying goodbye to Freddie, was saying goodbye to him. I thought that was a sweet moment. That was a sweet scene. But then to spit in James Gunn's face when he's always like, Yondu's death has to matter. That's why Yondu won't go. Billy Batson's back to life in the next fucking scene. That they fucking ruined in the TV spot. So desperate are they to get you to come see this movie. They put Wonder Woman in the fucking TV spot just to ruin that for you. We deserve better for all these Funko Pops I've bought. I deserve better. And James Gunn is bringing it to me.
Oh my God. Andy Cortez, what did you think of Shazam 2?
Yeah, this is, I totally agree with Greg. This is a movie that I'd probably enjoy if I was a kid. And I think that there are tiny moments of hope with like decent comedic moments, right? And I saw somebody get mad at us in the comments for, I forget what movie it was that we reviewed recently. And they're like, you all judge these movies too strongly on like how the comedy is. Well, yeah, these are fucking comedy movies, you know, like. And there'd be glimpses of hope, and then they would just take it all away with something else. It really felt like if you were to tell me they were writing this movie in real time and we were watching the results of what they were writing, I'd believe you. Because it was just like, and then this can happen. Yeah, cool. Yeah, throw in like weird dragon stuff. Oh, and then like Cyclops, throw in Cyclops as well. And it just kind of kept on getting more and more dumb. And I felt like it was just such a cash grab for like Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu, like, they were awful. This whole cast was awful. This movie is fucking terrible. Like, I do think that, again, if I was a kid, I'd probably think it was super sick because it reminds me of Power Rangers, but, man, it just kind of kept on getting worse and worse, and I cared less and less. And then, yeah, Greg nails it. There's a decent acting moment at the end when Billy Batson dies, and the little Freddie Freeman kid is having a decent performance near the end. It's spoilers for Nick. Billy Batson dies at the end, Nick. Yeah. Nick hasn't watched it yet. He had some stuff to do last night.
Nick, he comes back with a spider in his teeth.
But yeah, it was just really, really bad, Tim, and I had a pretty bad time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Timmy, what'd you think?
Watching the trailer for this, it was one of the worst trailers I've seen in a very long time. And we watched the Scream 6 trailer, and I was like, oof, this looks real rough, and I'm not excited for this movie. And then watching Scream 6, I'm like, I fucking loved this. And I was really hoping that'd be the case last night with this, and it wasn't. I do think it was better than the trailers, but not by much.
Right.
I could not call this a good movie. I think it's fine. I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's bad. This is not Black Adam levels. I don't even think that it's like as low as some of the other DCEU movies, where Wonder Woman 1984 was probably like my biggest disappointment. This was kind of like, what am I expecting from a Shazam movie? I liked the family a lot in the first one, like having the brothers and sisters, and we didn't get too much of them in that. This movie is a lot more of them. Because I like that stuff, I kind of like this more than the first one. I wasn't as high on the first one as you guys were. I think that this one hits equally in terms of comedy, maybe a little bit more just because there's more of it, but it also misses a lot because a lot of the jokes, even the funny ones, don't necessarily get run in the ground when they're first delivered, but almost any good joke is used at least twice. And it's like, oh man, that makes me not like it as much even retroactively the first time.
Yeah.
This, you lose points for what I've already given you.
It kind of feels that way. When a movie, it's a modern movie. We're judging this against every other superhero movie that we watch, whether it's DC, Marvel, or otherwise. And to Greg's point about like what niche is this kind of filling, like I don't really know, because it is the family thing. There were a bunch of younger kids in our screener, and like they were laughing a lot, and like they were having a good time.
That was just Kevin.
But it definitely,
dude, when Kevin busted up at the end, he goes, just let her die. When Helen Mirren's been fucking a giant hole in her chest, Superman instantaneously killed a hole in his chest. This woman just limping on for 15 hours.
Yeah, Helen Mirren was horrible. Lucy Liu, like, it was really sad to see her on screen. Like,
It really was.
But yeah.
What did you think of the other sister? I liked her fine. I liked her.
Yeah, you know, Rachel Ziegler. I did for a bit, and then I didn't. Her character to me went off a cliff. But I feel like the surprise for me was Wonder Woman didn't see the TV spot, so I was legitimately stoked about it. And the Wonder Woman stuff in this, I just fucking loved for multiple reasons. One, halfway through the movie, not even early on in the movie, we get what seems like the Wonder Woman cameo, similar to the Superman cameo in Shazam 1, where we don't actually see her face. And then we get the face reveal, and it's this like hilarious version of the wizard, Jaimon Hounsou. Face on Wonder Woman's body. And legitimately, y'all, I thought this shit was hilarious. It looked so fucking funny. And like the length that they had it on screen,
so long.
The commitment to it, I was like, this works for me a lot. And because of that, I did not expect her to come at the end. Did it make any sense? Sure, because they made it make sense. It's stupid as fuck. And the music hits, and then she comes out and just does her thing, and then he has a spider in his mouth. What the fuck are y'all thinking? What the hell is happening over there?
Tim, I just really hate throughout all this movie, and it's the same. I'm positive that it's the same complaint I had about Shazam 1, where Zachary Levi's older version of Billy Batson does not match the younger version of Billy Batson.
Thank you so much. It drives me fucking crazy.
He acts like how Freddy would act as the super, like, he just acts like this. I don't know. You could also hear like I don't want to say that Zachary Levi smokes a lot of heaters, but goddamn, he just has like a voice that just sounds tired and like fully just has smoked heaters his whole life. So when he's trying to do he's trying to play a young character, which is like hilarious when Paul Rudd played Michelle Pfeiffer, you know what I mean? In that Ant-Man movie. It's weird here because Yeah, whatever, fam. You know, like, it just sounds awful.
He's like, do you not? Have you not watched the kid's performance? Like, he doesn't sound like that. He doesn't act like that. You seem like two different people.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we had that same complaint in part one where
it's really. I think it's even worse this time around. I don't remember being so. I was annoyed by it. I was angry.
Yeah, he acts the way I would expect Freddie to act in. As the older version of himself or whatever, Captain Every Power or whatever. Yeah. Again, another joke that just got run into the ground multiple times.
Yeah.
But yeah, just anytime that they would give me something that I would like, they'd do six other things to like piss me off later around, like right after.
Totally. Kind of. And you know, for me, whenever I'm watching, I feel like there's been a trend with the DCEU movies specifically, where as I'm watching them, I'm starting to think about like what do I like about this? Like what is there here? What am I hoping for? Like what's
I'm already analyzing in the movie like this got to be something.
But they just give you so much time to do it, right? And it's like I've been so really long. Really bummed.
The amount of time I checked my watch and Andy checked his watch. That's when you know it's bad. When I'm sitting next to Andy and I check mine, I look over, he checks his. Oh my god, jeez.
I mean, legitimately in terms of the watch stuff, like I didn't have that problem. I thought this movie was entertaining enough where I wasn't like, god damn, how much more do we have? Because once it started, I was like, I get what we're getting. And like I knew it was gonna be a 2-hour movie. So it's like, cool, I'm here for this dumbass shit. But my problem is in 2 hours, I expect at least a scene or two that I'm like, I want to rewatch this one day on YouTube. And there's just nothing the last couple DC movies, EU movies, that give me that, where I'm just like, there's just a lot of okay stuff. And even the highs for this are just derivative as all hell. We get, guess what? A bridge fight as like one of the big creative fights. How many times have we seen that? Admittedly, they did some cool things with it. I thought that they stayed on it long enough to like have cool things happen. But then they set it to Holding Out for a Hero, which is one of the greatest songs of all time. But how many times are we going to fucking hear it?
And one funny line right there, though. Like, and it's lines like that where I'm like, whoever wrote that, have them do more. You know, like,
are you
oh my God,
the line
I'm
the car.
Yeah, he's like, am I rescuing you right now to this song? This is insane, you know?
And I love that. It's just maybe use a song that hasn't had like iconic moments in multiple movies and video games and commercials and trailers in the last year. You know, it's just so ridiculously overdone. And then later, what's the next song we get? What's the next like big hype licensed song? Sabotage by Beastie Boys. Okay, guys, we fucking get it. Like, find some creative like uniqueness to what you're trying to do with this stuff. And so, yeah, I was just really let down with like the lack of moments that this movie had.
Greg, do you have something?
No, we're past it. I was going to say, of course, I thought Tim was saying, you know, so many people have used Holding Out for a Hero in great ways. And I thought he wasn't going to put a timetable on it. He said last year, which means it's fine. If we're going to talk about of all time, Short Circuit 2. Thank you very much.
Well, Short Circuit 2, absolutely. Put it on the map. You know, we got Euphoria. We have the Guardians of the Galaxy game. We have Detective Pikachu. We have Loki. It's been fucking popping up everywhere. Shrek 2, I hear. We're going to get to the plot. But before we do that, let me give you a word from our sponsors. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. And thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds, you see the fun little dancing guy. Honey searches for coupons and it finds you the best ones. And then you just watch the prices drop. We here at Kinda Funny have been using Honey for years and it's helped us save thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. That's the best part. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it works on your phone too. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, you save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny.
Starter for the bottom, we're still here. I had a full verse for it. Hold on.
Wait, we're not doing actual ads in this right now, right?
Mm-mm. No. Starter for the bottom, we're still here. We couldn't fight back at him, but Wonder Woman's here. It's really hard to jump and play at the same time.
I get it, though. I like it. I like that.
Real quick, before we do it, Kevin, I sent you the Short Circuit 2 Holding Out for a Hero clip if you want to put that on at any time. Probably. You don't have to turn up the volume.
Let's not.
Probably just say,
all right. If you guys want to look in assets, it's there.
Okay, also, good. I'll watch it.
We already got dinged anyway for my Drake cover right there.
Matt Ryan put it up. He has 88 subscribers. He put it up on YouTube for everybody. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Athens, Greece. Guess what we have? A museum. People are inside it and they're looking at shit. That one guy who's a comedian in a lot of different things. He was in that one show.
Yeah.
He's been in a couple things, but he's in one show. He's your museum guy. He's terrible. Excited to be in a museum.
He's just terrible. You know?
What?
That guy was terrible. You didn't think he was terrible? It's just like sometimes they have these actors that just go so over the top, and it's like no one in the world would ever be this like
a museum tour guy. I think Lloyd.
No, like two people come in fully armored and he's like, well, look at these guys.
I know what you're saying, Kev. No, I know what you're saying. But it's moments like these that I'm like, again, moments like these, the movie just fucking started. But immediately I'm like, this is going to be, I would love this if I was a kid. You know, it reminded me of watching Power Rangers as a kid. Or even like Mortal Kombat, not all the gory stuff, but just like all the mythical creatures.
A lot of Mortal Kombat vibes in this.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I didn't thought about it. There are a lot of Mortal Kombat about it.
Mortal Kombat vs. DC.
So, as we said, we're in the
Helen Mirren is just this collecting a paycheck. Man.
They got a snap staff, because if you remember Shazam, they snapped it at the end and then it ate up a bunch of trash compactors. I didn't remember this. I'm glad they inserted the scene eventually, because I was like, I don't remember anything about the end of Shazam 1. But yeah, these Spartans
also,
walk
really
in.
Really quick, everyone like Shazam's an idiot. And it's like,
we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Okay, all right.
Come on now. Are we in reviewing the plot, or are we just jumping into the parts we really want to fucking drag on and beat the shit out of?
Okay,
I'm down. Right. If you wanted to do that part of the in review plot, I'm down. Let's go. How'd they get power in their little dimension? You know? They brought in their generator. They had an answer for everything, Kevin. You ask it, they'll have it.
Yeah.
I digress. So the museum guy's there. Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu walk in dressed as a fucking Spartan. They smash the glass. Everybody's like, whoa! And they grab it and they each get a little juice off it. They go, woo, woo, woo. I don't know, that tastes good. And then everybody starts panicking. The whisper. Lucy Liu starts coming up to everybody. She's going, and they're all like, yeah, I'm going to fucking whisper in everybody else's ear. Because she's like, whisper in everybody's ear. They're like, I'm going to whisper in everybody's ear. And everybody's like, oh, it tickles. And they're rolling around. People are fucking panicking, though. They're running up. They're shutting the gates on them. They're slamming on the gates. Like, oh, my fucking God.
Very Titanic.
And then the museum guide's like, don't let me... Well, Titanic. Yeah, I remember that. That was a good flick. Why don't we do a Titanic interview? And then the museum guy's like, listen, don't do it to me. I'm just a friendly museum man. And they're like... He's like, maybe don't do that. And then they just put out the sand. The sand smoke comes out and it turns everybody into rock.
Break all
and
the then statues, they, remember?
Yeah, and then they tip over the man... And he's like, Lucy Liu's like, museums can be fun, sister. they gave him the script and they read it and they're like, are we witches? And they're like, yeah, just played as witches. And like, all right, cool.
All right, cool.
Let's go watch Hocus Pocus. We're going to do that in this film. Okay, great. And that's happened. And Zen is like, what's happening in Greece? We'll get back to that. Because Shazam, he's on a couch and he's talking to a doctor. And then it turns out it's another comedian. It's this other guy.
The guy from The Boys.
Right. He's a pediatrician, not a therapist.
The writer of the Seven, yeah.
That was a funny gig, or a joke, but it's, you know, ruined in the trailers already. So, like, and we saw it a million times, so I didn't laugh this time, but I still appreciate the joke. You know, of course, because Zachary Levi has never watched the performance of the Billy Batson, and I don't even know if I think one writer writes Billy Batson, the other writer writes Shazam, and they're not allowed to talk to each other. He has this completely, like, funny
Billy Batson.
Never in a million years would, you know, fucking Billy Batson be like, well, my friend Billy Batson, he thinks he's recommended you. I thought that was funny. But then it's like, you're a failure and the city hates you. And he's like, I'm not a failure. The city doesn't hate me. And he holds up the fucking newspaper, the Tribune. Like, he's a failure and we hate him. And he's like, well, whatever. And then he goes out and he's like, I got to go back and do my thing. And then the bridge happens here. No, they go home and then they're at home and then the home stuff's happening and they're all there.
They're playing video games. Remember? They're like,
yeah,
we got to learn how to be a team
situation to go to. Yeah. It's going to be a long one. And they,
which is
they
like
talk.
Such creative writing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What a hot situation video game. Oh my God. That's crazy.
And Mary Marvel's there, but he won't let her go to college, which is weird. And then they're so like, okay, weird. Cool. It's like, because they have this whole thing, Kevin, just fucking get your gun, because we're just gonna take it. It's right now, Tim, throw the claymore up, because we're taking our shots at it. We're skeet shooting right now. There it is. Like, the whole fucking thing of like just two references to like, yeah, I just don't want people to, I'm afraid of the family breaking up, and like that's like, but when they reintroduce that at the end and she's like, Billy, like, you always have a home and a family. Like, all right, he was fucking worried about that. That was something, dude, that was a part of this movie.
But it's also, how long have they lived in 45 minutes ago. Like, I mean, it's weird that she's like there's the scene right when they're all about to go leave and play and actually save the bridge, where everyone's like, bye, and he's like, bye, Mary, or whatever her name is. And you kind of get the thing that she's like, aw, she wants to be called mom. And at the end, we get that moment where Rosa. He's like, was it Rosa?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Good enough.
Oh, that fixes it all.
Rosa, I nailed it.
Yeah, good job.
Nailed it.
Yeah, but like, it's just like, how long has he been there? 2 years? How long has it been?
Well, then it's a big deal at the end when he calls her mom, except it wasn't a big deal at all, because if you weren't paying attention to that line, everybody forgot about it.
Here's what I feel about all of these little moments in the movie that admittedly do a serviceable job of tying up the loose ends. When something is set up, they've got to find a way to kind of complete that. And I'd rather none of it happen. Like, that's how unsatisfactory, is that a word I'm looking
satisfying?
For? That's how unsatisfying all of these sort of ways that they are solving these problems are. Again, with the mom stuff, with him feeling like he's aging out of the group. Like, there's a lot of these little, like, tiny little B, C, D, E, F plots. They're all F plots in my mind. But there's all these tiny little plots that they set up and then they make sure to solve by the end of the movie. And none of them are satisfying. I'm like, I'd rather none of those things happen at all. I'd rather, like, there be none of these small little subplots and just give me action, action, action instead of a taste of rainbow joke for the 50th time. Like, oh my God.
It was so good the first time.
It was like, was it though?
I thought it was.
Because
no,
I.
Come on. Like, how much did Skittles pay to be in this movie? Not much.
Probably none.
Jesus.
Find some joy.
Anyway, that's how rainbow, y'all. That's how I felt about all those little like loose ends being tied up. I'm like, I'd rather you not tie them up. I'd rather you not even do them. Like, yeah. You know, when we get to the end of movies and we're like, where did that, like, plot point go? It's like, I'd rather not any of it happen ever, you know?
What about Pedro being gay, right? Like, here's two references and then this payoff. And it was like, oh, we all know. And it's like, Pedro struggling with this? I didn't really feel like Pedro was struggling with this.
Oh, the first movie did that? I liked that payoff. Like, that was one that I feel like is maybe you can omit from this list of stuff. I think the payoff was funny, but it's just like, so many of these little plot points feel so forced in there. He's like, oh, I do like baseball. And he's like looking at a dude in a nice, like, buff, like, baseball player. It's like all of this stuff just feels so forced in there. And there are so many scenes in this movie that I just kind of go, what was that about? Like, why did they just kind of throw this random thing in there that didn't work at all with the audience, that we didn't... Tim, you said you heard a lot of kids cheering in the audience. I didn't hear any of that. It may have just been because I was hearing Kevin laugh, but, like, I just feel like there was a lot of shit in this movie that just didn't work.
There was so much to laugh at.
You know? Yeah.
Bad. All right, so anyways, there's this guy in the museum. You know, they're back there, and then they play the thing, and they're all doing their little things, but they're all, the team's breaking up, Billy thinks, and then he catches Freddy trying to leave, and then he listens in, and it's the bridge thing, so he's like, no, it's all for one, one for all. Come on, family, let's explore Philadelphia. And they all roll their eyes, and they all get up, and they leave, and mom and dad are like, what are you doing? Like, no, they're exploring Philadelphia. And then they go out, and then they all have their little superhero walk, and they all say, Shazam, and they all turn out. Oh, that was cool. That was cool. Like that.
It was awesome. Great shot. Love the colors. Very Power Rangers. But yeah, just super cool.
One of the
then they jump up and they fly. What?
I was just saying, one of the background jokes in there, as they're all leaving, the dad's like on the phone or talking to some handyman and being like, yeah, look, it's like the house keeps getting hit by lightning, yeah. I swear. And it's just like, yeah, I enjoyed that.
And they brought it back again.
Yeah. Well, no, but like that's setup, Tim. That's setup.
No, it's not just repeating a joke.
No. They answered because he was like, oh, that's where the lightning came from. You know, he set up and then you get in there.
I'm with Tim on this. So that's where all the lightning comes from. I think.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it the first time. They run to the bridge, and you're like, why would people think that these guys aren't the coolest? Why? And then you see them that they can't save the bridge. They save all the people. That, saved, you know, like, I liked the bit where Mary's like getting them one by one going, what's up?
They save 50-something people.
Yeah, they saved like a ton of... I thought it was ridiculous. Like, guess what would have happened if they had not arrived? The bridge would have collapsed and people would have died. Like, yeah, why is the city, like, fuck them for saving these 50-some-odd people?
Because Philadelphia sucks, bro. Philadelphia and all their fans, dude. It's shitty.
But yeah, this scene I thought was cool for what it was trying to accomplish, which was, hey, this is a group of superheroes, and they're saving people, and they're working together. Not great at it, but they're actually doing stuff. And yeah, we actually see them save people, which is something we don't often see in superhero movies. Like, it's normally, like, facing off against big people. Maybe we get the scene in, like, Spider-Man of them saving a tram or something falling off. But like, for this grand scale of a thing of actually saving people, I was like, this wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. I just feel like it was creatively bankrupt in most ways.
Agreed. And then yeah, falls, and then they're like, the Philadelphia fiascos can't even save a fucking bridge. These guys suck. And they're like, oh, we don't suck. And they're doing the little debrief.
Philadelphia boots Santa Claus. You know that, Tim?
They booed
Philadelphia
Santa?
Booed Santa Claus at like an Eagles game several years ago. Like,
so much weird things you're saying right
that's
now.
That's the city that we're talking about at an Eagles game.
In what context at an Eagles game?
It was like a Christmas game, and here comes the Santa Claus, and they start booing him, throwing snowballs and shit. Awful fans, dude. Snowballs. Awful city.
They just want you to get back to the football. They want to see Donovan McNabb on some TV. You know what I'm saying? Anyway,
chunky soup.
Right, him and his mom eating soup all the time. Weirdo. Oh, great game. I better have some fucking beef bourguignon. You know what I mean? Anyways, Tim, they do the recap. Everybody's doing their own thing. They're breaking away. They're fucking off. They're doing their thing. I'm ignoring Kevin. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. All right? I don't want to know. Kevin's going to correct what kind of soup it was. I don't want to know. All right?
No, he actually has no idea what we're talking about.
I have no clue what the fuck you're talking about. And I know Tim doesn't either, so it's good. I'm going to have a
Listen,
bowl of cereal.
Chunky soup.
That's because you guys are a bunch of nerds, all right? All the sports fans like me and Andy know Donovan McNabb. We know his mom. We know Chunky Soup, all right?
They're in Campbell's Chunky Soup commercials. His mom and him. Donovan,
mom
you want
was
some
recast
soup?
Several times.
Yeah, I remember this now.
Chunky soup. Chunky soup. Chunky soup.
They're all doing their things, running around, and like the one guy, the video game kid, he's checking all the doors and leaving notes on them because he's experimenting with that. And Billy drags them all back together. And
you say they answer all the questions about this little home base situation, right? Where, oh, cool, they have a generator. That's how they're powering it. Where'd they get the money to buy?
They steal
the big screen TV and like all the fancy stuff they have.
GoFundMe.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
When you save people, you can sit there and put your hand out, ask for a tip.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Remember that one? Remember the like that hilarious joke about the outhouse and the door and like, do not go in there.
Yeah, like, little Ace Ventura.
Who's
little
writing Ventura. The good jokes, man? Let them do more of that.
Who?
So all that's happening. You know, I don't know. Let's just jump over to the witches. They're being witches. They're like, you know, we're out to get some shit. Like, we're the daughters of Atlas, and they stole Atlas's power and put it in the king. Oh, yeah, they got the wizard. And the wizard's over there like, I'm here. I died, but I'm here. But
Billy
whatever.
Batson.
Billy Batson.
The wizard had some fucking buck wild moments in this movie. Like, sure. Just throughout the entire thing. Like, I already
Dude,
talked about
Dude, when he
about,
comes into the very fucking end.
Like, yo, that was, I thought. Incredible, but when he fucking it turns into like torture porn for a second, he's pulling like
a
nail
out of his
finger. Ugh. Like, why did
splinter.
They do that?
It was a splinter
because that way he had a little bit of the wand.
He clawed the staff so he could get the wood.
Send the message out to Shazam, where he gets mad at him for doing something that no one explained to him.
So many ways that could have been handled.
Gross.
And instead, they did that.
It's like, it really is out of left field. Like, almost killing fucking Diedrich Baker or whatever that guy's name is.
Not almost.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's dead.
Four stories, straight to the face.
What?
Yeah, he's dead.
He pops like a grape, remember?
I mean, like, again, that's later on in the movie. We'll get to it later.
We can just put it here. Also, like, I mean, fuck him. Like, you know what I mean? Two bullies are beating the shit out of a kid with a crutch in his thing, and he walks up, he's like, guys? And they're like, we're just helping. I'm like, no, you're a I just saw you assault him. Go to the principal's office, you're expelled.
But that's an example of an arc that was thrown in there because Diedrich Bader or Baker or whatever is there to kind of commiserate. I was the loser like you were in school, and I'm here and I'm the teacher to relate to you. But it's so fast and it's so minimal and it's almost like it didn't happen. And then he's really only there for a shocking moment to get sad at, of having this dude walk off a building and die in front of his student.
His student.
It's just it's so unnecessary. And it's like, dude, why is he here, man?
My biggest problem with Shazam 1 was how incongruent its tones were when it was like so comedic and it's a family and it's lighthearted and fun. And then the whole Seven Deadly Sins storyline was just so unnecessarily dark and like not in like a gothic way or in ways that I think they could have melded them better. It just feels like two separate projects directed by somebody that did a Conjuring movie. Like, that totally adds up to me. And then this, there's just like moments of that darkness that I'm like, what the fuck? Why would you do that? It does not fit this movie.
It just felt so, I mean, not that like, you know, putting this dude in your movie is like, how dare you waste this character? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're wasting Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt in your movie or something, but still just felt like completely unnecessary.
All right. So, like, that's all been happening. Everything we just said has been happening. They talk in his ear. He has to say Shazam. He makes the staff. They're going to use the staff to suck up people's powers or whatever. Back at school, like we were talking, Freddy, we got the shit kicked out of him by the bullies that we still hate. Diedrich Baker was there. And then the new girl in school likes Freddy and is, like, flirting with him. And that's great. And, like, they shared it. Her name's Amy and yada, yada, yada. That's great. Then after school.
Anne.
Yeah.
Anthem.
Amy.
Anthea?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this your guys' first interview plot recap? I'll call him whatever the fuck I want, and then you'll call him the rest of the way that. All right.
Got it. So if Greg's about to vomit on this microphone right now. He's so drunk and hungover.
He's sobered up, but I don't think that happened. Mike, drive you home, huh?
Uh-oh. What's happening here? Greg Miller's getting up. For everybody that doesn't know, Greg and Mike went to a Mizzou game today. Mizzou won, so I'm sure Greg's really excited about that. I'm sure he drank no less than a lot of alcohol. So he's now leaving his post to God knows what.
I really hope he doesn't come back.
As soon as I sat down and he was like, yeah, I was like, yeah, how's my microphone? Yeah. Like, oh man.
Like, it's Uncle's
been smoking a lot.
But when Greg starts going on the plot and I can understand like one third of the words as opposed to the normal two thirds, then I'm like, okay, there's something's going on here.
Because
the way Greg does a plot is he'll just be like, yeah, so then that guy talked to this guy and yabba dabba do.
And dabba dad, even dad.
Oh, you got more? Oh, we got what we got here, Greg?
Pliny the Elder.
Oh, yeah, wow. Okay. The recap juice is coming in.
Oh, man.
It's party time, y'all.
So these little shitty fucking kids are at school. Amy Jo God Monster Woman, she pops up. They don't want you to know she's a person, but guess what? She was on the fucking poster that I had to stare at for fucking 30 minutes before the goddamn movie started. So I put it together that she's probably pretty important.
She's probably a daughter of Atlas.
Probably, yeah, there's triplets or whatever, right? So then that all happens and that's going on. Then, yeah, the thing with the finger and pulled out the thing, and it goes, little bird, tell me whatever. And then the dust transports him into his goddamn dream hellscape where an 18-year-old Billy Batson is dreaming of being
they
on
made
a date
it
with
so
Wonder
clear
woman.
He's 18. And I think it's.
No, he's 17.
About to be 5 weeks or whatever it is.
Five months.
So. With this, it's like
5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, Kevin. It's in review.
Hey, man.
Do me a favor, all right? Take the rule book and throw it away. I don't know
what
you've been doing during Scream. I don't know what you've been doing. I guess now, according
to
the fucking...
When it comes to statutory rape, I never throw
according
away
to the
book
of Scream rules, everything has to be official. Otherwise, the MPAA comes in here and removes our grading, and I don't want to hear it.
It's a very bizarre choice that this movie sets him up as around 18, and like that matters, right? Like, us knowing his age matters. Him turning 18 has different levels of, oh, he's going to have to leave the house. Like, if he did get with Wonder Woman, it's legal, but still fucking weird as shit. Meanwhile, Freddy's out here with the other girl.
A 6,000-year-old woman.
And it's just like, they play that for jokes? Kinda? Like, not. They didn't even commit to that hard enough, where I'm just like, This is just, I feel icky about the choices they made.
I did like the mom's thing of like, what is with our boys and older women? Like, that was a funny line. Not, I mean, no, it doesn't get away from the fact that this is probably crossing a bunch of lines. And why would a 6,000-year-old weird god woman want to hang out with?
I would have made like a, we got to cancel her joke or something like that.
Something.
But like, that's why I'm not super happy that Anthema or Anthea or whatever was played as, I'm actually on your side, I'm warning you, whatever. Like, I wish she was just straight up a villain like the other three. Because then you could have just avoided that whole stupid-ass romance plot point anyway, you know?
Totally.
But they needed to find love. And then we saw how brave Freddy was, because he was brave to the bullies, but then he was also brave to the dragon. Because remember, the dragon oozes fear out of every pore. You're like, oh, man, it's going to be crazy to see that shit happen. And then they just use it the one time with the roar scene. You're like, oh, that's it? Like, I thought the dragon's doing something. Also, Andy, I want you to know, if I'm right there. You and me are in the writer's room, right? And it comes up and you're like, some other idiot is over here. And they're like, yeah, what if she said, you know, what is it with our boys and older women? Right. And you're like, I don't like that. We should do something like, that's going to get her canceled or something like that. I would then, as the 1-2 punch, I would say what we need to do is have it right before she says that, Flash runs into the background and then you say the cancel line and he runs right out. Never see him again in the picture.
Wow.
I digress.
God, this guy's a writer.
DCEU, everybody. Strap in, Keaton's back. Anyway, Freddy then blows off hanging out and doing the other thing with the kids back at home base. He doesn't want to do that. So he goes, because he's going to go with Aunt. Well, remember, Billy pulls him away too, because Billy had the dream that we got pulled away from. He has the dream with Wonder Woman's body and Shazam Wizard's head. And he says all the stuff with the Daughters of Atlas. Then Billy tells Freddy that, but Freddy doesn't care because he's thinking with his wiener. And then they go home and he has the meeting, but the people don't want to come to the meeting. But then is this where Mary's hung over too?
Yes.
Are you going to tell me? Yeah. Are you going to fucking tell me with a straight fucking face? First off.
Yeah. Go for it, Greg.
You're going to tell me with a straight fucking face that if you get hung over and then Shazam, you're still hung over as the Shazam person. So or you're also going to tell me with a straight face that Mary, who just looks like Mary, who is just that she's old enough that she's just what do you got for me?
I thought I missed something because I feel like I must have missed a joke or something that one of the step parents would have been like, or not step, yeah, step parents would have said, why did they not notice that that was their daughter? The Philly fiasco motherfuckers,
yeah, right?
That's their fucking daughter. Like, it just all the other like kids, her. It's like, sure, okay, whatever. It's fucking her. And so
I wish I could help you. I'll tell you why they put her in a lot of big sweaters when she's regular Mary. And so clearly everybody would look at it and be like, oh, well, this Philly fiasco woman in the tight fitting clothes can't be our troll of a daughter. You know what
I mean? I thought I must have missed something because, like, they had to have referenced it because it's fucking weird. But I was looking this up. Grace Caroline Curry, who plays Mary, will also play her adult superhero form, replacing Michelle Borth from the first film. So the first film had somebody different. But now, according to the director of this, Fulton's now playing both parts, but her hair and makeup are slightly different when she's super, so nobody will ever recognize her.
No shot.
But, like, that weird choice, like, in any way. And going back to, like, the sober, not sober, it's like when it's literally the same actress, it just, we don't get a sense that she's a different person, like, or different body type or anything. It's just like, cool, you're just married, but you're hungover. I don't like
it.
And
I think Shazamming it would eliminate it. And straight then up. If you also just look like the Shazam person, wouldn't you just be Shazam person all the time, you know? You get to that point where you're like, oh, fuck, I look exactly like myself. I'm just going to Shazam all the time. Spoilers like for Kingdom Come. It's what Billy should have done.
He's winking at the camera, audio listeners.
Aggressively.
But I don't know if he's falling asleep.
Anyways, they go there. They need to find out some information about the Daughters of Atlas. And the one guy's like, oh, I know what to do. Maybe it was one girl. I don't fucking remember. And there's a secret room. And guess what's in the secret room? There's a pen named Steven or some shit. Fucking remember. There's Steve. There's a pencil named Steven.
So funny.
And it writes. You talk to it. It's like, cousin it.
It just looked like a Steve is what she said. They could have just been like, hey, do you have a name? And it would have written his name down.
Yeah. Like, but when you're, you know, an indentured servant of magic, you don't have a choice. You know, it's a whole Dobby situation. If they would put a sock on this thing. I hate being trapped in this box. I wish I was there. anyways, the pen tells them a whole bunch of shit about the fucking Daughters of Atlas. It writes down book titles. They all read the book titles. They all start figuring it out. This is, of course, where they figure out the whole Shazam business, right? The strength of Hercules, the wisdom of Solomon or whatever. He says it
funny. Solomon.
Funny joke.
What? Yeah, that was funny. What Andy was saying about them just throwing so much shit in here of just like, there's just a lot of words, a lot of script in this movie. Like, their idea of how do we progress the plot here, it's like, all right, cool. There's this like magic library place, and there's a magic pen that can tell them things. They're going to tell them the different books. And then we're just supposed to believe that this group of kids, because they're fucking kids, is going to go find these complex ass books, and each one gets assigned a book, and they're supposed to read them. And like, I guess we get a time jump montage of some sort or whatever the fuck. And I'm just like, Mary, cool. You've set up. She's smart. She's going to college and all this stuff. You're telling me this little fucking video game kid's going to be able to read one of these like witchcraft and wizardry books and like be like, sure. Oh, let me tell you, these are the gods and this is the, it's like, no, what the fuck? Like, we don't even know half the words being said here.
I appreciate that this was one of my complaints about Black Adam, where I was like, how do you go from speaking Kondakian or whatever right to English? And everybody's like, oh, the wisdom of Solomon. And then these morons all have it and they don't fucking know how to do shit with it. So like, don't get in my face about it, Black Adam fans, all right? One of you.
I can't believe that it was called out so much. Because a couple days ago, I was driving around with Roger, and he said something about Shazam, and I was like, oh, he's like got extra smarts because he's got the wisdom of Solomon. He didn't believe me. So I'm really happy it got pulled up in this movie.
Prove his ass wrong.
But yeah, 100%. But it's like they never explain why he doesn't actually – why isn't he smart?
Like, yeah, I thought at the end it was going to kick in or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no.
Everyone just
I also think it'd be cool if Billy Batson was still dead. Like Shazam says Shazam and he's just a corpse.
I want to put this out there. I know it's like literally the end of the movie, but like there's a lot of conversation about throughout the movie, like way too much conversation about.
Tim, I want to point out, we don't give a shit, man. Fuck it, just beat this movie. Get it.
What is his name? Like what? Him searching for a superhero name? Why is this a question? Why isn't it just fucking Shazam?
Because that's the worst name possible for him.
But cool, and I'm with you on that because it's hard to say your name because if you say it and you transform, but then by the end they name him that.
What's your fucking name? And he just writes it on a piece of paper. Like, why can't you say it? It's a long thing.
It's a thing, man. I just felt like they wasted so much space with that.
How cool was that moment where the old actor that played Shazam
was like Captain Marvel? You're the best Captain Marvel.
And it's like, who the fuck was that? I mean, there's clearly a cameo in this, and I was like, I don't know who the fuck that is.
There was a Captain Marvel TV show back in the day.
Oh, really?
The guy there is the guy who played Billy Batson.
He was in, like, the same style shirt.
Same outfit, yeah, the same shirt and everything.
Yeah. Talk about an Easter egg that nobody cares about. Like, I'm sorry. Nobody gives a shit about that.
I was like, oh, that's interesting. Let's see what these unicorns are up to.
I knew that's exactly what it was going to be, but I'm like, this isn't Stan Lee. This isn't that sort of, like, level of person that
I'll go as far as saying it's not even a Lou Ferrigno.
Wow.
Damn, yeah. I mean, you're right. You're right, bro. Well, I mean,
you say that, but the dozens and dozens of Shazam fans are really fucking popping.
The Shazamly.
Anyways, Freddy's off with Amy Jo Johnson.
hate you.
And so they're like, oh no, guess what? Because they back at home, they turn the page like, oh shit, there's three Daughters of Atlas. Old one in Lucy Liu, and then this one that's Amy, but her full name is Amy Mamie. Like, oh no! And like the wisdom of Solomon kicks in, and he's like, Amy must be short for Amy Mamie. And like, oh no, Freddy's with Amy Mamie right now.
And just revealing her powers, just revealing his powers to her.
No, I hit him. No, that was the other fucking
thing. And she's so fucking dumb.
Stop. That was the other fucking thing. I'm like, you're watching and they're like, oh, clearly she's playing him. She needs him to change into, you know, Captain Underpants or whatever the fuck he calls himself, every underpants, because she needs to steal the power or whatever. And then he does it and she talks to him. And then, yeah, the bad wizard, the witches show up and they zap his powers away. And she's like, Freddy? Freddy, you were underpants? What did you think? I thought you were 6,000 years old.
Were you around the corner?
11-year-old farce.
There's nothing more like fucking shit, making your skin crawl than through all the speakers in the studio, just Kevin.
He's
so loud. As Greg Miller she's fucking blown, wheezes to death.
Blown away. She's blown away by this reveal of this fucking stupid ass kid. Everyone in this universe is so fucking dumb. Anyways, yeah.
Sorry,
so that
not to belabor this, but like in addition to this being dumb how they present it, the blocking of this is fucking hilarious. Where they're on the roof of this school. And she's talking to Freddie, and Freddie's like, oh, let me go. Let me make a call. He freaking, like, doesn't even fake making a phone call. Like, he just pulls his phone up, and he's like, oh, hey, like, talking to him. And it's like, how does she not know?
She doesn't know what a there's phone no, is.
She's never seen a phone before.
You're right. The magic portal box. You're right. Then there's this, like, weird little fucking, like, where the stairs are, and he goes behind that, and then she's looking this way, and then superhero him flies up from behind.
There's a lightning bolt right before that.
Why the fuck did we do it this way? It's just... so funny.
Again, kids movie. It's the only way you can look at any of this and be like, just nobody cares.
That's
like,
the forget everything you know of this. This is a kids movie.
What's the actor's name? That's the teacher, Deidre or something like that?
Deidre
Bader.
Yeah. Then he comes out and has fucking horrifying death.
Hey, what's going on here? And they kill him. And the first time when he first popped up, I was like, oh, like, don't get me wrong, Dietrich's not like the biggest name, but like you recognize him from the Drew Carey show. He was Batman and Batman Brave and the Bold. I'm like, they're going to do something
Jane
fun
Silent
with him.
Bob, no. Security guard.
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh, fuck, what was it? Shit, I used to be able to call that off the top of my head. Oh, and then say, oh, what a lovely tea party. Do you remember that
Kevin's
from Jane Silent
laughing
Bob?
Way no. over there.
Kevin gets it. Kevin. Remember, he was going to make Bob suck Jay's cock, and then when at the end he wanted him to say, oh, what a lovely tea party.
I don't like my friends to say cock, man. It's ugly, dude. Yeah.
Well, I understand that, but imagine me saying it through all the speakers in the studio. Cock.
Just say dick. It's just like...
yeah.
But here's the thing. If I say dick, that's a medical term. When I say cock, it's it's for sucking or fucking, all right? You know it's up there for something, man.
God, I when I guys. Say cock, show. You know it's for sucking or fucking. Shazam! Fury of the Gods, a kid's film. Oh.
So anyways, fucking goddamn it, he's dead. And then Freddy's powers are gone. You could say Freddy got fingered. Then Amy Mamie, right before they kill him or whatever, she goes wan, moves the whole universe around and shit. Oh, it's because, yeah. The Marvel family shows up and they start coming. She does the whole universe spinning Inception, Doctor Strange shit. And then, you know, Shazam hits a fucking building and then the other people show up and then they're like, yo, we got Freddy and they took my powers and now we're taking him. And they make a little like flying carpet Magneto X3 thing and they go up and then Shazam chases and then they put a dome on the city, very akin to like, you know, fucking Crisis on Infinite Earths, you know, or Superman stuff. Don't worry about it. They get there and they start punching the dome and he can't get through and they zap and the zap goes back and like, oh my God, we're under the dome, the DC dome. It's
DC
dome.
Fan dome.
What was that one city called? Condor?
Oh, Candor. Yeah. The bottled city of Candor. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, I think we'll get there in DCU for Brainiac and you'll see there's a lot of bottled cities.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Think so?
Yeah.
You think we're going to get there with Brainiac?
100%. You can take it to the bank right now. Everybody? Kevin?
Uh-huh.
Rack zoom on my face. With DCU will have Brainiac and we'll be getting some goddamn bottled cities, all right? Don't worry about it. Smoke them if you got them, all right?
Damn it. The guest punching button doesn't do anything.
I wish I had known earlier about the TV spot so I could have ordered a new Wonder Woman outfit because, you know, the last one got destroyed, I think, by my giant body. But I'm ready for another one that could have been helpful for this.
Greg, if there was only, if there was just one more god, you know what I mean?
One more god to show up?
Yeah, right at the end there. Oh, there is. I hate this fucking movie. I hate it. I was so mad at the end of it.
I won cupcakes.
Yeah, that
Andy
was really
did
cool.
win cupcakes.
Yeah, that was
from
really
a
cool.
somebody a kid who was on the Food Network.
He won the cupcake.
Yeah, there was a Food Network thing where, again, this is like a press screener. And so this kid, this probably makes no sense to the people listening right now.
Yeah.
But before.
Andy, I'll let you know, right, the spoilers, if they're this deep into it after the whole cock thing, they're just down to party. Don't worry
about it.
You're
right. You're right. There was a giveaway, and the prize was some cupcakes from a kid who. Won some like Food Network contest, like a bunch of little kids cooking and baking and stuff like that, and he won from San Francisco. So they're like, hey, the winner of this giveaway wins cupcakes.
It was one of those look under your chairs.
Yeah, it was one of the, it was one of those look under your chair things. And it just so happened that the place that I sat in, the seat that I sat in,
was the one.
But like beforehand, a woman that like Kevin and Tim know, who like kind of does these screeners, like knew that I was sitting in the seat, and she could see that like the, I guess she selected the seat way beforehand or whatever. And she kind of like walked and saw me, and she was like, I need you to kind of celebrate here in a little bit. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I was just really nervous. And then Tim was like, oh, I think you're going to win the thing. And I was like, what thing are you talking about? He's like, I think you're going to win the thing, the cupcakes. And I was like, Tim, I don't want to win the cupcakes, because I just didn't want to, like, I had to like stand up, but I had to do the thing, Tim. Mm-hmm. I had to do the thing.
And you did it so well. They're like, and the winner is who? And Andy looks at you, it's me. And Andy, you were so joyous. And Andy ran once down to the front of the theater, and they like interviewed you for a second, and Greg Miller starts heckling him.
No, I was supportive cheering. I went, hey, it's that guy from Twitch. And then I went, I saw him on a billboard in New York.
So I won the cupcakes. And then I even heard some people be like, wow, I was really enthusiastic as I walked by him. And I was like, all right, well, fuck you, man. Like,
that's when you peg him with a cupcake.
Yeah. And then I ate a cupcake.
Jesus Christ.
And then Greg ate one.
Oh, you mean throw up a cupcake at him? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. No, Kevin, it's not always. Again, did I say cock? You know, right here, I said, you know.
Randy got his cupcakes. Oh, God.
I'm trying to do the drums of the thing at the same time, Tim.
All right, let's just fucking go, please. Yeah, all right, we can keep moving through this.
Come on, man. Relax.
Yeah, I got to take over a baby. I got to take over a baby in 55 minutes, Kevin. Can we get through it all? Who knows? We got to get to Mr. Mind. We got to get to fucking Mr. Mind, don't we? It's been 2 years.
Is his name Mr. Mind?
Fucking worm. Show some goddamn respect.
It has been, because he said it's been 2 years, so it must have been 2 years. Yeah, I don't know. You think 2 years isn't long enough to
say 2 years one more fucking
time. Establish a relationship with a woman and feel like she's your mother? Is that too long enough?
I mean, you know, I'm not going to put myself in Billy's head or shoes, because he had a lot going on in those 2 years.
I couldn't hear
you. Yeah, what did you think I was saying? Mr. Mime?
Mr. Mime.
Oh, the Pokemon.
Mr. Mime. Is a Pokemon.
Oh,
yeah.
Mr. Mime. I was not talking about him.
He's a weird little DC.
He's a worm.
Yeah, he's banging Ashen's mom. That's true.
Jesus Christ.
Delia, show some respect.
What's he banging her with?
Cock.
Tim, I want you to know I tossed it up, and I'm like, is he going to alley-oop it or knock it out of bounds? And you were there, slam-a-jamma, John Stockton.
If I could have, I would have grabbed the ball out of midair and fucking punctured a hole in it.
That's why you're no fun. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so they're in the dome. They're in the dome.
The dome was a big turning point of like, uh-oh. Like, this movie's, like, this was the moment where I was like, this could get really bad.
This was the moment for you?
Yeah. Where, like, before I was like, it's fine. But the dome, I'm like, this could get egregious. Like, depending on the directions they go with it.
I super appreciated all the people being in the dome, just living their normal lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just not caring. Still going to work, still making sandwiches. The only thing they really had a problem with was they were all sweaty because the dome was keeping all the heat in.
Yeah, we know that.
And they're after that golden apple, and they planted the golden apple.
Tree, yeah. You want to jump to that? I'm fine. Tree comes out of the ground. The tree comes out of the ground. Then all the witches start fighting each other because like they're like...
Lucy Liu's acting in this was...
Yo, Esmeralda, you've gone too far. You know what I mean? And she's like, I haven't gone far enough. And then Helen Mirren's like, no, you really have. And she's like, oh, have I? Boop. And they poke her with the thing through the chest. God, it's like fucking, it's grotesque. You know what I mean? Again, like kids movie, but they're harkening back to like the fucked up 80s kids movies where the kid stabbed the eyeball that was in his palm that one time. And so she's dead as a doornail, right? Oh, no. So then you got old.
We did skip. I know we were jumping ahead, but we skipped the entire action scene with the porta potty and Helen Mirren talking to Zachary Levi, and they're back and forth.
The Fast and Furious joke.
Fast and Furious joke.
I hadn't seen that in
Fast and Furious.
I only saw the preview 7 times, so that joke hit even better the 8th time.
Then that fight scene I thought was like had okay moments, but then
That fight scene was awful just because, again, there's no scale of who's getting hurt and how Shazam's getting his ass beat by an 85-year-old woman who then he...
6,000.
she like he's doing the same attacks. Like he grabs her and pile drives her into the floor. Not pile drives, just slams her into
when
the floor.
When they're beating her ass, I'm like, this old lady is getting her ass beat.
But
dude,
then she's totally fine. She does the exact same thing to him, and he's fucked. He's just not getting up.
One thing I have a problem with in these movies, and it was made even more evident here, was when things in the environment don't break the way you think they should, and when like some people can fly through buildings and that's one thing, but then, like when she's hitting him against these like wooden crates and everything just isn't getting destroyed, like the, he's just kind of like hitting a wall almost. It's like, well, this guy has flown through so much shit. You just knocked his ass into a building, and for whatever reason, the environments here aren't breaking. I just hate that inconsistency. That happens, like, not just in these movies, but, like, in Marvel movies and in all sorts of comic movies. People flying through concrete, and they get stopped on, like, a crate of some shit, you know?
Yeah.
I just thought the entire fight was just, like, unimaginative.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, like, it's just action figures getting slammed together, which is... You know, it is what it is or whatever.
Kevin laughing.
And then it turns into some weird fucking
really
hentai,
good.
Right? Where like the wires come alive and wrap up.
So that's what I was driving at.
Mary,
yeah.
And
it's like it, this whole thing, it's just like turns into this weird like fetishization.
So why are
of
these
the
wires
characters
strong?
There was electricity in them and she's
right?
the master
yeah,
of the elements. It's like, all right, cool. That's what you're doing with this? Like, very
is,
fucking
is
weird.
That why she created the barrier too? She did something with air. Like, it just she just has generic magic powers that do whatever they want. I hate
this. She could freeze people.
Well, she's a daughter of Atlas.
Not even a god. It's a titan. It's a totally different thing.
I just would have expected these superheroes to, like, get wrapped in wire and just, like, bust through the wire.
Yeah.
Like, why is this thing super strong, you know? It isn't, like, this isn't Wonder Woman's fucking lasso, you know?
You know what else I don't like? Axis powers. I don't like when shit's happening, buildings are moving and stuff, but it's like not really happening, or is it happening, and who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
These skyscrapers are moving around, but like, what's that look like to somebody a block away?
I was thinking the same thing.
Bunch of nonsense.
I was thinking the same thing because like, it has to be happening because he crashed through a building thing.
Yeah.
Like.
So when she's done, does that building just go back with a hole in it?
Yeah, well,
and then you think about redistricting. You think about voting and everything.
I took it as he was in like having vertigo. Like it was just happening to him or anybody trying. I think normal people on the ground didn't see it. They don't explain this, and I don't know. It's my own thing. And while we're here, because we did jump over it, because this is a bad movie, and we're just trying to live our lives and get back to having fun with our lives, sitting here in this mortuary. Another great moment for me was when fucking goddamn. Amy Mamie, right? She spins the fucking shit around as Helen Mirren like is trying to take her powers, or maybe Lucy Liu is. I don't fucking remember.
Oh yeah.
Spins it away, gets away.
Lucy.
And she's like, "Whew, fucking did it!" And then looks through the glass, like three buildings away, and does like one of these squints of this blue light, and just like sits there, and like, Kevin just goes. Move! And she takes it. Power's gone. Ash hands. Come on.
There's a moment where Shazam just this Lucy Liu has this staff that takes away people's powers, and Shazam just goes up and just takes it from her. He just flies from behind and grabs it from her, and then instead of being like hey,
tosses it,
I'm gonna take your power. Oh, that was later. But
egregious, dude.
I'm gonna take your powers away. He just. Flies away with it, or he could have just gone down to the floor right next to him. Right next to him is Freddy and Athena, or whatever her name is, and
Amy
could have
Mamie.
Been like,
Amy.
"Hey guys,
Amy Mamie,
touch the fucking staff really quick, and then you both will get powers. And then maybe at the end of the movie, we won't need to bring in a third character with powers to bring me back." You know, it's so dumb.
Like, there's few moments in American cinema that stand up to Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman squaring up in Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition, getting ready to go head-to-head with Doomsday, all right?
Dude, later on in that fucking library, again, when Kevin, you're talking about the staff being stolen, and then he's like, here, Freddy, catch it. And then Helen Mirren just grabs it, like, in front of him.
Yep.
And then Kevin out loud went, oh, come on! Because it's like, at this point, it's like a...
insult.
Yeah, kind of. Like, it's become slapstick at this point. Like, where's the wisdom of Solomon when you're just going to toss something that's easily just going to get robbed from... Like, it's so stupid.
But also, just use it. they keep pointing at your team and taking their powers away. Do that. Just do that.
Do that.
So the tree's there. The fucking dragon comes out. They're flying through Pittsburgh. No, Philadelphia.
I hate it. The dragon looked dope as shit. Mm-hmm. People riding the dragon looked atrocious.
My God.
And the level of speed, just there was no understanding of how fast this dragon could go. Lucy Liu, the amount of shots of her just fucking riding this goddamn dragon, man, it pissed me off so much. But when we see the multiple times, different members of the family flying with holding some shit and flying with the dragon chasing them, we see them and they're fucking moving. They're bolting through the sky. And then you see the dragon start to fly, flapping its fucking wings. And I'm like, there's no way he's going to catch him. And then the next shot, it cuts and they're like caught up to it. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Why is the dragon that fast?
Again, another, hey, it's a kid's movie moment. Like, just suspend all disbelief. But, like, all of them being in the van and being like, let's get out of the van right here, right now. While there are minotaurs and fucking all sorts of mythical creatures killing people in the streets. And they're just like, let the kids get out of the car. It's like, what is, this is stupid as shit.
Andy, I did enjoy the joke, though, from the mom of, I don't know how to parent this. I don't exactly know how to parent this or whatever she says. I thought that was cute. But it is unbelievable. But then back to it is like, oh, this is a kid's movie where kids make the decision.
I'd be like, do you have powers? You don't? Okay, stay the fuck in the van, dude.
Yeah, Freddy gets out and like,
especially you, Freddy,
caning away. I was like, I would probably stop him. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but he had that great fucking moment where he's like, I'll stealth. And the guy's like, I don't think you should. And then he's like, but your knees crack every time you walk. He's like, you got a metal bar that makes a click noise every time you move.
He had a pretty sweet little roll, though.
Yeah, it was a dope roll. He tucked and rolled perfectly. He did.
Is this the him and the wizard escaping?
Yeah,
the knee cracking joke.
I had to go pee. Okay. I had to go pee, and so I do. What did the violin on fire do? How did that? What happened there?
It
was used as a distraction point.
Said, look at the violin on fire.
Yeah, someone was like, "What's that?" And they were just like, "We don't know."
Got
either.
You know.
Yeah.
But like that violin on fire made me laugh. Like
it made me laugh.
When it first just popped out of nowhere, like
yeah, that was funny.
It's kind of like it reminded me of like Lego movie type humor, you know? Yeah. Like it's just it's nonsense, it's funny, it's you know, doesn't have any consequences, you know.
Is that lore? Is there lore connected to that?
I'm sure there is.
I'm asking Greg.
Oh, of course, yeah. So what happened there is that when the Titanic went down, the people who had been playing on it, like the band, the guy who went down there, turned out he was actually an agent of Asriel.
Aren't you glad you guys, Craig?
Anyways.
I'm gonna take his job seriously for once. That's my bad.
The burning violin located by the mirror is a burning violin. Thank you. This could be a historical reference to Nero playing his fiddle while Rome burned, or it could be a nod to Captain Marvel Adventures, number 64, a 1946 tale inspired by the story which sees Ogar, a corrupted champion of Shazam's, enchant his minion Nero's violin to spew fire in an attempt to burn down New York.
I'm sure that's it.
That's it, yeah.
I'm sure that's the one.
Greg's texting control. He says, hey, you're on my side. They hate you. They tell me to bite you. Be on my side. I never bite. Sober up, Craig.
Hey, man, it's a tipping point. Which way do you want to go? You know?
Didn't he just tell us in 50 minutes the house, the babysitter's gone?
All right. So. They're in the dome.
In the dome.
So after the fight with
they fought the dragon.
Helen Mirren, didn't she went back to the house? She finds the apple, which was black, but it was supposed to be gold.
No. Remember, we skipped all that. We know that you've seen that part. We talked about the parts we didn't like about it. We were already the tree's planted. That's all happening. Helen Mirren's been stabbed. We've already incorporated. We've already talked about the battle van. We'll toss in the fact that like what do the monsters fear? They fear a unicorn. Unicorns are found in dark, moist caverns, so we got to go find one of those. What do they like? They like ambrosia. It's sweet. I have Skittles. Andy, go off about Skittles.
I mean, that's it. I mean, it's like a taste of rainbow. I think the worst part of it was that, like, we knew it was coming, and then Roger said it out loud, so we double knew it was coming, and then it happened again, And then,
I did like the charge. Like, I feel like when she dropped it and said "Taste the Rainbow," I was like, "That's a bit much." Or I didn't like that. But when she was riding on the street with the unicorn and he went "Taste the Rainbow, motherfucker," and they cut, I was like, "I liked that." I wish we didn't get the first "Taste the Rainbow." It's back to Tim's point. Every joke happens twice.
One "Taste the Rainbow." I love Darla though. I love Kid Darla. I love Megan Good Darla. Big Darla fan. I liked her taking the kitties. I liked her giving back the kitties.
I really wish at that point the unicorn should have just stabbed Darla right through the fucking chest.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
And like the movie had taken a dark turn. Real consequences.
Well, we already had Diedrich Bader walk off our roof.
Yeah, like that was really fucked up. It was dark.
But yeah, then we see the unicorn stab the Cyclops. It's the moment that the Cyclops, Tim, when the monsters are spawning, right, before the dome. When the monsters are spawning. Well, the dome is, I guess, already here. But the monsters are spawning, Tim. And you see, like, the big, I keep blanking on this mythical creature. The lion with the scorpion tail.
Chimera.
You see the chimera, like, doing its thing. Oh, ladies for lady. By the way, this extra, probably the best actor in any DC movie.
110%.
Like, she really gave it her all. And then the Cyclops comes out and then, like, roars in the camera. And it's at this point, I'm like, what is happening in this movie? Yeah. Like, what? This is where we're going with this right here.
Dude,
it reminds me of the end of Black Adam.
Or Shazam 1, where all of a sudden we got these fucking things that look like the seven deadly sins that look identical to this. I don't like the look of CG that Sandberg goes with for his movies. Like, there's a vibe to it that, like, it looks like Mortal Kombat from the 90s or Power Ranger bad guys, but done in CG and as opposed to practical. So it's like it loses the kind of, like, corniness and charm that those have, and it just kind of is off-putting and, like, not fun
to
watch.
It's like an HD remaster of those CGs.
Honestly, that's what it looks like. And the moment you first see them, and granted, I know we've watched 1,000 of these fucking movies, but you just can't shake the feeling that, well, something's going to happen, whether it's a fucking beam or this or that. They're going to flip a switch, and all of a sudden, these things are just going to disappear. And then that happens, and it just feels like nothing.
Yeah.
It's because it is nothing, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. Anyways though, yeah, so, you know, they eventually figure out, Billy figures out the thing's a battery, his power is that power is if I can get it and I can do the thing and supercharge it, I can kill everybody that way. So
the wizard also has that moment where he's like, no, Billy, your wisdom, like, I did choose right. You saw that we.
Your heart. It's like the most, like, corny bullshit.
Yeah.
Same thing again. Like, we're talking about, Andy talked about it earlier, all these different threads in there that, like, just we didn't even need. We didn't need that. We talked about it earlier, kind of, but, like, this is right around when it does really happen with the mom of, like, let me see my Billy one more time. Oh my God, I love you, mom. And it was just like, again, none of these are fleshed out enough to matter in this moment. Yeah. Like, it sounds sweet. It sounds like a cool thing, but you have to really be into, like, the kids really get, not all of them, the kids really get the short end of the stick on this one. It is really the Shazam characters we see more than anything, which is fine, but it also then totally removes you from being like, oh, they're kids, right? This is, like, not their true form or whatever.
And Helen Mirren's been bleeding out for 38 hours straight.
They bring her back to life. And she's like, oh, just stop shocking me and let me die or whatever. She says, let me go to the underworld. And then that's the plan of shrink the fucking thing around me and I'll kill the thing and then we'll do the thing and then Lucy
to avoid killing a bunch of people.
Yeah, exactly. So they lure Lucy Liu in there with the dragon. They do the thing I'm talking about. They shrink the thing. She's like, no, and she's mad. And then, you know, Billy has the moment saying goodbye to his family, goodbye to Freddy. It's very sad. Then he goes up there and he starts shooting lightning bolts at everything. And, like, you know, overloads the fucking thing and then finally it explodes.
Good question, Greg. The Wizard Shazam, what are his powers? Is he still the Wizard Shazam, or is he now the
He was the champion, right, before this. And
was
then,
he?
Yeah, because he gave him his powers. He said, I should have stayed the champion at one point.
Yeah,
I don't remember Shazam 1 well, by the way, but he said that in this movie.
But, like, how does that work with Black Adam? Because wasn't he the champion?
It's an excellent question, Kevin.
Like, there was a champion, like, his son was the champion.
They were wrong about Black Adam, though, you know? And so they just they entombed him away, and then they kind of were like, "Now we'll just do
it
again."
Wasn't it the Wizard Shazam that entombed him away?
You know, Kevin, I don't want to get into this because I feel like he's going to poke some holes in Shazam: Fury of the Gods that we don't need to poke holes in. Okay. You know,
I'll never forget. I was telling Greg when we were at the movie theater before the movie started that before we watched Black Adam, they showed the trailer for Shazam 2, and Jaimin Hounsou is in the Shazam trailer looking like his wizard self with the big beard and the dreads and everything, and then Black Adam, the movie starts, and we see Jaimin Hounsou in the same sort of, and I was like, thinking to myself, damn, they just typecast him as this one role, huh? I'm like, oh no, it's the same guy. Like, I forgot that these are connected somehow, but also not connected at all.
Although it was a nice little Easter egg, right? Of like, you know, when he's fighting Lucy Liu in this dome and he's getting zapped, his costume's turning into the Black Adam costume. It was getting all black and destroyed.
I also think very confusing on, like, just like, why? What's the point of like making it look like the Black Adam outfit?
So we sit there and go, oh man, Black Adam, remember that guy?
Remember that?
That's the one appearance that The Rock allowed to be in Shazam.
Yeah, right.
The shot of Zachary Levi walking in the baseball stadium, throwing the staff arm to arm while he just calls down lightning.
Why?
I was like, this is pretty cool. Why are we still going, though? Just toss it back and forth, toss it back and forth. There's like 10 back and forths. And it's like, I get it. There's a lot of lightning. Like, you could have just given me like maybe one, two, and then like a big thing, just like have it all coming down. But instead, he wasn't even saying anything interesting. He was just kind of like taking his time strolling.
And the dragon's watching. Anyways, they fucking do that, and it blows up, and the dome comes down, and the dragon's dead, and Lucy Liu's dead, and the whole family runs in there, and they're like, Billy! Billy!
Billy!
And finally, who finds him? Amy Mamie. Amy Mamie's like, there he is! And Freddy hears it, and Freddy runs over, and he's crying. He's like, get up! Get up! You tell me it was all a joke! And I was like, damn, Freddy, you fucking killing right now, brother. And like, he's pounding on him.
Damn, Freddy.
And Amy Mamie's like, oh hey, he's over here, and everybody comes over, and it's fucking super sad, man.
Looks Freddy needs to be in more things. Like
looks a lot like BBS,
this dude's a good actor. He has great line delivery. He has great like comedic sort of feel. I just like it, I need to see him in stuff that isn't this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks volumes about him as an actor. The fact that like I can still come away going, this kid is good, even though he's in this movie, you know.
Can I sell you on something he's in?
No.
No, fuck. Yeah, sell me.
You watch Batman and Superman Battle of the Super Sons. It's one of the DC animated ones, one of the more recent ones. He's Jonathan Kent in it. He's really good in it.
Ah. He's also Alberto in Luca.
Oh.
And he's in the It movies.
Luca was a good movie, man. Luca made me cry.
And they're like, he's dead. Oh, no, we got to bury him or whatever. And then the wizard's like, well, bury him where everybody gets buried. That's a god or whatever. And I think I was peeing when they introduced this place. Because what is this? This is Mount Olympus? This is just the god's territory or some shit?
They never tell us. It's just the god's realm.
No, okay. It's the god's realm.
It reminded me of the place from Black Adam. Mm.
Somehow that realm, all the powers got taken, right, in there? They got put in the staff.
Yeah, but the staff. The wizard.
Created a barrier. And then I guess their life tree died.
No.
This really sucks.
And so they bury him, and they're like, there's nothing in that staff that could save him. And the wizard's like, nah, man, it would need the spark of a god. And then, or a demigod. And it's her!
I fucking lost my
Gal Gadot
shit.
Is there.
They played the music. They actually did it this time. Her fucking walking in. It's actually Gal. And I'm like, let's fucking go. This is so great.
I thought they were going to fake us out that first time.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we were going to see her in that dream and like, oh, we're clearly not showing the head because it's not really her. But just kidding. It is her. Like, I think I'm glad I didn't have this spoiled for me because I thought it was pretty.
It was great.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was great. Oh, this is a neat surprise. And then you're like, this whole scene sucks. Everything that happens sucks. She grabs a stick that gives us some god powers. Boom, 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 bam. He comes back from the dead. He's all dusty. He's like, you buried me right away. I'm like, shut the fuck up, Billy.
Shut up, Billy.
You were fucking burnt to a crisp. Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started. Okay. Again, don't even get me started.
The spider joke was my least favorite joke of the entire movie.
Oh, yeah?
It was really weird and out of place. Like, I don't understand who's going to think that's funny.
Dude, here's what I gotta say, bro. I'm gonna catch a lot of heat for this. But this spider bit, along with the first end credit, this feels like James Gunn, and like not the good James.
No.
Gunn. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, well, like not James the good Gunn, James Gunn.
Bro. It ain't James Gunn, and that's an insult to say that. And I won't hear it. I won't respect you for saying it. I won't listen to it.
That's fair.
Thank you.
I didn't watch the second post credit though. I left.
Literally, yeah, I thought you were joking when you, and he turns to me, he's like, let me know what happens in the post-credit scene, and pats my leg and walks on. I'm like, oh, he's going to go to the bathroom, he'll be back, never came back.
You know, I was thinking about it, and like, Tim and I both went to the restroom, and then I was like, My Uber's here. Somehow, magically called my Uber. Greg, who would have thought? Who would have thought?
He hits on Wonder Woman as she walks away, points out the fact that even though I have the power of Zeus, we're not related. She's like, hey, hit me up in a million years or some shit. I forget what she says. And then that's Shazam, right? And they're all in their new house. They have a cool new house that they're building, and everybody's a family. And, you know, Mary finally got to go to school because she's got an Oxford shirt or some shit on. And then guess who knocks at the door? It's the wizard. He called an Uber. All right. And then they're like, you know,
he's got a hat and he shaved his beard.
He looks great. I mean, he looks great.
I mean, it looked awesome, but it was just hilarious when he walks in. Like, just hearing Roger and Kevin laugh got me so much. And they're just like, it's the wizard. Like, it's so weird, man.
I thought it was funny, though. I loved his look in this.
But I thought it was unintentionally funny. Like, I don't know if we're supposed to be laughing at it the way we did.
Definitely not as hard as we were.
It was just an odd thing to happen, I thought. Like,
odd for sure. I don't think they meant it to be funny. Like, why else would they do it?
I don't know.
It's supposed to be cool.
I mean, I stopped. Why would they?
I don't think it was supposed to be cool.
Yeah, little kids are gonna sit there and be like, "Oh, he looks like a normal person."
That's exactly what they're gonna say.
And then as we get in the post credit scene, the first one was the Justice Society one, correct? Where it's Dyebeard and
Amelia Harcourt,
walking and complaining about how hard it is to walk in boots, and then they get there, and this is like such a weird like. This is how you know it's not James Gunn. You say it sounds like, feels like James Gunn.
This is totally James Gunn.
No, it wasn't.
This is totally James Gunn.
No way.
This is totally James Gunn dialogue.
What a lazy setup. We're going to go get this guy and recruit this guy. He's shooting bottles. Is this supposed to be a prequel where he just got his powers? Because now he does all sorts of flying and cool shit. You're telling me Billy still just goes to a random ass gas station and shoots bottles? That's what he's doing with his fucking unlimited power?
Yeah, that's just fucking... I mean, look, it's not good at all. But I love what they did with these two post-credit scenes because they're setting themselves up to be able to do whatever the fuck they want when it comes to the DCU, DCEU. First one, straight up just being like, yeah, Shazam could return. Zachary Levi, all the stuff here, this could stay in the DCU of them setting up with these characters that James Gunn said are still canon to where we're going forward. I was more thrown off by them recruiting for the Justice Society. Them recruiting for the Peacemaker team that is also like X Task Force because
Task Force X.
What's up?
Task Force X.
Task Force X. Then
former Task Force X.
Former.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not understand what you were saying.
Gotcha. Oh yeah. Okay. Now I understand. Double X's there. But yes. They now are recruiting for the Justice Society that Pierce Brosnan and them were in, and Hawkman from Black Adam. Like, that makes no fucking sense.
It makes perfect sense. Remember, Amanda Waller calls in the Justice Society.
She's still collecting checks, man.
Amanda Waller is doing the whole Duff Light, Duff Dark. She's got a bunch of superheroes on the payroll and the supervillains. She doesn't care what they're to call them.
No, it's
Justice Society are a bunch of fucking cowards, just like the Suicide Squad.
I'm hazy on this though, but
chumps and chumps.
Don't the Harcourt and them leave Amanda Waller
at the end of Peacemaker?
Yeah,
I didn't think so.
No,
no, because remember in Black Adam, she says Waller sends her regards or whatever. They're working together when they drop off Black Adam. They're still a part of the team. They're still on Waller's payroll.
These characters were in Black Adam. That's what I'm. Not remember.
Yeah, there was the scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Harcourt is in Black Adam when they drop him off.
There we go.
When we thought the movie ended the first time.
Yeah. And then, so anyways, I just.
And then the devil comes.
And then the fucking second post-credit scene. I love that they have the fucking God. Audacity.
Tell me all about it. I didn't see it.
To tell you about it, Andy, I need to actually take you back to Shazam fucking 1.
Take me all back, right? Brother.
Where I don't know if take you remember, back. But the bad guy in Shazam 1. Do you remember him? Bald dude?
The Smalls guy?
Ooh.
Mark Smalls? Is that his name?
Oh, Mark Strong. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Mark Strong, Remember, he was in a, like, cell. That had like, it was just all walls and he's in this fucking cell and then a little worm came out and started talking to him.
Oh,
you remember that?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Worm is Mr. Mind, according to Greg, all right? And they set some shit up that when we first saw that, we're all like, we'll see where this fucking goes and no one could give a shit less. They redid it again now And Mark Strong's just staring at a fucking wall, and all of a sudden he hears a voice, and he looks over, and it's the fucking worm. And he starts talking to the worm, and the worm's like, I have so much shit to tell you. I have so much shit. I'm going to tell you everything. But you know, not yet. And he just goes away. And the worm just goes away. And then it ends. It's them admitting to themselves they don't have a fucking plan. They don't know at all. They're just like, yeah, you're still going to be fucking waiting here because this plot doesn't fucking matter at all.
What?
It was... hilarious.
But they played it for laughs, Andy. They played it for laughs. It wasn't as serious as Tim's making it out to be. Because like, the guy yells at him, was like, yeah, I've been waiting 2 years.
So it was like a self-aware
thing. And Mr. Mind's like, listen, I don't have arms or legs. I have to slither everywhere. It takes me a long time.
No, 1,000% self-aware. Like, they are admitting that this is stupid.
Gotcha.
Like, they are totally in on it. That, no, this is not going anywhere. We're not going to fucking see this come to fruition, period.
I love that.
Gotta love it. So damn much.
Shazam, Fury of the
Gods. Shazam, baby.
Ragu. Bagu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys, the podcast within a podcast where we rank all the DCEU villains in one amazing comprehensive list. To catch you up, we have 13 people so far on the Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys list. Number one being the best is Butterfly, Judo Master, and White Dragon from Peacemaker. Totally. Number two is Starro, Waller, and Corta Maltese from Suicide Squad, or The Suicide Squad. I can never keep them straight. Number three is Black Mask and Zazaz, Victor Zazaz, from Birds of Prey. Number four is Zod from the one and only Man of Steel. Will he return in The Flash? We'll see. Number five is Doomsday and Lex in Batman v Superman. Number six is Steppy / Darkseid in Justice League, the Snyder Cut. Number seven is Maxwell Lord and Cheetah in the one and only Wonder Woman 1984. Number eight is Thad in Shazam 1. Number nine is Sir Pat in Wonder Woman. Number 10 is Ocean Master / Manga.
Sir Pat?
And Aquaman. Number 11 is Steppenwolf in the original Justice League. Number 12 is The Devil in Black Adam. And number 13 is Enchantress and her baby bro in Suicide Squad or The Suicide Squad. I can never keep it straight. Where do we want to rank the fucking Daughters of Atlas?
So look, they sucked, and there was very little good, if any, to be said about them. But like, I feel like that's true for so many of these. Like, I honestly, personally, don't care where we rank them as long as it is at or below Steppenwolf from Justice League.
Oh, fair enough. I think this is far below anything from Justice League.
11 is Steppenwolf, 12 is The Devil from Black Adam, and 13 is Enchantress and her baby bro. I, just for a second, would say personally, I would put them at Steppenwolf, knocking Steppenwolf down. So they'd go 11, Steppenwolf goes 12, Devil at 13, 14, Enchantress.
Above Steppenwolf, you'd say. What's below? What's above Steppenwolf, sorry?
Ocean Master / Black Manta. From,
yeah, definitely
Aquaman.
Below that. I'd put it below that, and I'm down to go lower, but
I'm down below Ocean Master.
I just just think that there was nothing interesting about them at all.
Sounds like then the Daughters of Atlas enter in at number 11, below Ocean Master and above Steppenwolf.
Usually when we have bad villains, we go, well, at least the acting was good, but the motivations were all over the place. Motivations were cool, but man, just like stupid writing. But like this was just kind of like all like C to D stuff, you know? And that's a bummer.
It definitely is. Now it's time to rank the DCEU. Currently, the ranking is as follows. Number one, Peacemaker. Number two, The Suicide Squad. Number three, Birds of Prey. Number four, Wonder Woman. Number five, Shazam. Number six, Batman v Superman. Number seven, Man of Steel. Number eight, Zack Snyder's Justice League. Number nine, Black Adam. Number 10, Aquaman. Number 11, Wonder Woman 1984. Number 12, Justice League. And number 13, Suicide Squad.
I would put this at number 13 underneath Justice League.
Wow!
Above Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
My vote would be at number 9, below Snyder Cut and above Black Adam.
Yeah, because of how this list works, I think I have to go with Greg. I think that it's better than the first Shazam, not by much, but I do think it is. But I don't think it's as good as Batman v Superman, and definitely not Man of Steel. Zack Snyder's Justice League, take it or leave it. But earlier I was talking about moments. There are moments of Zack Snyder's Justice League that I would enjoy watching, whereas for this one, there's not. But
Black Adam had like decent fight choreography to me. Like I think there was some cool action moments in Black Adam when he's just going off and throwing tanks at people and fucking, like, when he's just going ham, I think the action scenes are more than serviceable. Here, like, I don't think there's maybe four jokes that I thought were funny in this movie, and that's all really I can say that was decent about this movie.
Yeah, I could not agree at all. I think Black Adam is, like, an atrocity compared to this. That's but crazy. Aquaman is, I think, way too low on our list. But anyways, yeah, so me and Greg would both vote it there, making it the new number 9, Shazam, Fury of the Gods. We're going to return to the DCEU in just a few short months, everybody, with The Flash and then Blue Beetle right after that, and then Aquaman right after that. Which one do you guys think is going to be the worst? It's going to be Aquaman. I feel like Aquaman 2 is going to come in hot, potentially at the bottom of the list, baby.
God damn. Yeah, I mean, God you're damn, probably
this is
right.
Really only Aquaman 2?
Yeah.
Fuck.
My man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Let us know in the comments below what you thought of Shazam Fury of the Gods. Like I was saying earlier, next week in review will be John Wick Chapter 4. Thank God we need that, Andy. We need some high quality movie going experiences. 3 hours of perfection. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.